in South Carolina, Rock Hill. And she spoke to us last year. Again, just about everywhere I've gone, I got to know Becky, and she's always come and has brought a word from our Native American brothers and sisters. So for your hearing this morning, her name is Joanne Garris, but she goes by Becky G. Hey.
See, I'm as prepared as your pastor is. When Nitim Tanaki Usahang Yakari in the Catawba language, I says hello to all and thank you for allowing me to come once again. As prepared as I think I am whenever I go somewhere, it's never what I've prepared that I say. I have to go by spirit. So first of all, I want to talk about the Catawba language itself. It almost disappeared. My great-grandfather and his generations were the last generations that spoke the language fluently. And then whenever the federal government was formed of the United States, they made rules and regulations that forbade us to speak our language, practice our spirituality, or practice our culture. It's been a long, hard battle, but we're still here. And in 1993, we got our federal recognition back. I'm not sure how many of you knew that during Eisenhower's last administration, he took away federal recognition from 110 of the smaller tribes, and we were one of them. And it was later on proven that that was an illegal act. Imagine that, the government doing something illegal. Like say, in after 23 years in court battles with the state of South Carolina and the federal government, we finally regained our federal recognition back. But we also, during that, whenever we were disbanded as a tribe, we also lost our land, our federal reservation. So whenever we regained our federal recognition back, they allowed us to buy our land back. Then we had to turn it back over to the federal government to put it in trust for us because after 12,000 years, we didn't know how to take care of the land. So, and there's rules and regulations that we still have to follow. And a lot of people think that once you're on a reservation, everything is free. It's not. Even though the federal government has set aside fundings that is supposed to compensate what was taken from us over time, we had to apply for grants to get this money. And that means 545 federal tribes had to compete against each other to get their share of the money. And it depends on the size of your reservation, not the size of your population of your tribe. Depends on how much money you get. And being on the southeast, there are less federal recognized tribes, so we also get less of the funding. Because everybody knows about the Navajo and the Cherokee. How many of you knew about the Catawba before you got here? One. Besides. Well, three. I didn't look around the room. Three people. And to start off with, the Catawbas sided with the British against the French and the Spanish when they came over. Even though the Spanish were the first ones that we know traditionally and through records that they were the first people that arrived here in South Carolina. one point, you know, we were the largest population on the East Coast. Now we're one of the smaller ones. Our population went, well, let me back up. John Lawson in 1701, when he came over, he wrote down that the Catawbas were 10,000 strong. But he only counted the men of fighting age. He just counted the women and the children and the old people. Plus, he did not visit every single one of our villages because we weren't one of this huge, big conglomerate metropolitan area. Our villages were within a day's run of each other, not only for protection-wise, but also for environmental-wise, because certain things, if you have everybody here and they're using everything up, what do you do then? Even though we had the river, we had animals in the woods and everything else, but if you got this huge amount of people and you're taking everything, there's no survival. But then also when Europeans came over, they brought something over here that we never knew existed. Smallpox. Because, and even the common cold was caught from a horse originally. Because Europeans had to pen up their animals. When their animals got sick, it spread to the population. Well, because we never penned up animals, if one animal got sick, it went off and died by itself. And I do believe that smallpox was spread unintentionally to start with. But after they found out how devastating it was, they intentionally infected the native population by giving them infected blankets and even coming into contact with somebody that had it. Because we didn't have a natural immunity to it, it decimated a lot of the tribes. And getting back to federal government making it illegal for us to speak our language, practice our culture, and our spirituality. Well, they didn't take time to realize is that we only believed in one creator. You called him God, we called him Wahire. That means the one who never dies. We knew about him before you got here. It's just a matter of that you brought this little black book with you that you followed word for word, instead of finding out what we believed in. And Native spirituality and Christianity aren't like this. They're like this if you stop and listen. They hear us talking about Father Sky and Mother Earth, and they automatically thought they were deities and we were worshiping. We were not. We were telling each other, you take care of these things just like you do your human mother and father. Because without either, there is no life. And once again, like I say, they made us do away with our languages because they took the kids and took them to boarding schools. And they took them out of the state where the kids lived, because if they run away, they know how to get back home. So you have to take them so far away that they didn't know how to get back home. And they were forced, once again, to stop speaking their language. They were disciplined severely if they were caught speaking their language. I know several years ago, I went to a Women of Many Nations conference. And there was this one particular young lady that was there. And she was talking about her grandmother. And that she had come back whenever she started learning her language again. And she went to her grandmother. She was so excited that she could talk to her grandmother in that specific language. And her grandmother smacked her. She slapped her because she spoke their language. And her grandmother said, "You're never speaking like that."
Wow.
And she also noticed that her grandmother was missing three fingers on one hand. And she later found out that each time that her grandmother was caught speaking her language while she was there, they chopped the finger off.
Wow.
That's why she was so terrified about her granddaughter speaking her language. And these are things that people don't know. And it's also something that I told somebody earlier. And I know I'm not doing what I said, but I'm following what Spirit tells me to say. That, you know, there's not a single ethnic group on the face of this earth that has not done something horrible to another ethnic group. But there's also not a single ethnic group on the face of this earth that has not done something to better humankind. But we need to know both. Not just to glorify the what they did to help, but to also need to know what happened before. God created us all.
Amen.
He created us all differently. We were created in, depending on what part of the world we were born in, actually depending on your skin tone. Most people don't even associate that with, because the closer you are to the heat source, the sun, naturally gonna get darker. How many of the people who have lighter skin pay to go to tanning booths to get darker? And like I say, my great grandfather, Chief Samuel Taylor Blue, was one of his generation was the last one speakers of our language, because he was born in 1873. So by the time he was an adult, that was when all these rules and regulations came about. So he did not teach his children the language. I was 14 when he passed away in 1959. And I remember him speaking the language, but he didn't teach it to me. And I didn't know enough to know that we had a different language other than English. The only time I heard him speak the language was whenever dignitaries or visitors came to see him. But I'm also of the generation that children were seen and not heard, so I could not ask questions. But the good thing is, whenever we regained our federal recognition back in 1993, Dr. Winona Hare, who is our director of the Culture Center and over the TIPO office, and that's THPO, that means Tribal Historic Preservation Office, and that means we have a one-on-one relationship with the federal government, that whenever there's any federal money involved in any projects going on, they have to call us, and we do what they call a site deed to make sure you're not destroying any pertinent findings, or, you know, like graves or pottery shards or whatever. And she and several other people developed the Catawba Cultural Center's Preservation Office. And one of the first things that they wanted to do was to revive our language. So we didn't even have a written language until 1999. But we were fortunate enough that I was talking about the Spanish, the English, the French came. In other words, there was always one particular person within that group that was always interested in our language. And they would write it down. But because we didn't have a written language, naturally, they wrote it phonetically in their language. And so whenever we went into trying to preserve it and to create or recreate the language, it was voted to accept and do the international alphabet. Because we all know that certain sounds and syllables have a certain meaning to it. But we also have no F's, L's, O's, X's, Z's in our language. But our vowels have four different sounds. So you had to know what each symbol or letter sounded like to be able to speak it and read it. I can actually read it faster than I can speak it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer in Catawba. It says, Wahire Niyang Atkuri Harire Akuri Tayade Apkan Akwan Hiade Ye Mi Rinche Ibichu Chire. And it means, he who never dies, bless the people gathered here, that from each other we will learn much. Mm. And I'm actually going to put Pastor on because I didn't do this morning, because I didn't think about it until I walked in the door a while ago. What I'm going to do is read you the Ten Commandments in Catawba. But Pastor is going to read you the Ten Commandments in English. We'll do it one by one, and then I will give you what the English translation will be, or what it means. If I'd have warned him, he would have been prepared.
Yeah.
Number one. You must have no other God before me.
Yang Achi Ku Nia Yang Aku Mucho means keep close by our Father in heaven.
Do not make an idol for yourself.
Wahire Dupa Kakadu Tibri. Do not always make something to look up to.
Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were no significance.
Hire Nia Wahire Wacha Wahanre. God's name is not badly taken.
Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy.
Yap say wikaha that is kuri. Holy day, keep it good.
Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on fertile land.
Nane na ika yaksun wikake ka nibre. To your father and mother, always be good.
Do not kill.
Waha. Ya gawa chapi. Do not kill.
Do not commit adultery.
Nyamba cha kunga hare dapa kekechi. Sleep not with another spouse.
Do not steal.
Wahire niha ya du chibre kare. Do not take things and run away.
Do not testify falsely against your neighbor.
Waha ita ha pa tsupe. Do not about others tell lies.
Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's house.
Waha namu jara hare nika naha yutare. Do not want what others have. And with that, it's time for me to sit down. So if you have any questions, he has my email. You can ask them to him, and he can send them to me, and then I'll get them back. Thank you.
Thank you. As I sat and listened, the more I listen, and it's good to have friends like Becky, the more I listen, history comes back, and it reminds me of where not too long ago we were. Not too long ago, where we were. I don't know if she told you, I can't remember. But the federal government gave the Catawbas, gave the Native Americans, the indigenous, whatever you want to call them, 144,000 acres.
And that's the King of England.
Huh? I'm sorry, that's right. The King of England gave them 144,000 acres. And you can imagine what she's told you. It's been taken back. It's been bought again. It's been taken back and it's been parceled. That is not what our Lord intended. It's not. They took the children far enough away that they couldn't get back home. I'm just speaking, this is history. People have been taken from their land far enough away they couldn't get back. They've been told not to use their language, their rituals, their customs, none of that.
Sounds like slavery, doesn't it?
I wasn't going to say it, but I appreciate you.
Getting on the same thing today right here in this country.
Exactly.
Okay.
As we sit in this edifice, 202 years old this coming September, we're on stolen property. Y'all realize that, right? When we went to survey where the original church was, which is not this red light, but the next red light. There were graves there. The highway that runs through this property, somebody was buried there. And they were just pushed aside or bulldozed over. So we are God's people. We've all been through something. We're all going to go through something. There are no big I's or little U's because we all share the same story. The same story. If you know history, if you understand history, it's the same story no matter what your melanin looks like. Thank you so very much. It's always a